Well, glory to God. This morning we're going to go back into our principles. There's things that the Lord wants to talk about. It's interesting, the principles for prosperity. Actually, I only go to this, you know, teaching what I teach. I have nothing in advance when I go. I mean, the Lord just shows me, because I started this off and to put down principles of prosperity, and I had no list of principles whatsoever, and I didn't, because I just didn't know what the Lord wanted to emphasize. You know, we could emphasize a lot of things, but I want to know what God wants to say to us on what things that we need to know, things we need to understand. Now, we've been laying out some principles of prosperity. We talked about the first one that the Lord gave me was on the areas of faithfulness. And really, I believe that that's on the heart of God. It's one of the major problems in the church world today. People desire to prosper. People want to be well. They want to have a sound mind. They want to have all these different things in their life. They want to live a good life and have a good life. But it's going to be very hard for a person who's not faithful. A person who is not a faithful person, they can try all kinds of things and do all kinds of stuff, but it's not going to help. Faithfulness is a huge, enormous thing. And we in our study of faithfulness, we looked at God's view on people being faithful. And faithful ties into everything. It ties in and is faithful. And we want to be, you know, there's many people, I mean, they're not even faithful to God. Yet when they get in trouble, they call to God, "God help me." And unfaithful, and yet they want help. It's sort of like a guy who has financial problems. He's been unfaithful in paying his bills, but he runs down to the bank that he owes money and expects them to bail him out. Now, I know they do it in America today. You're allowed to do that. But America's devilish. And what we practice in our nation is devilish. What we practice is evil, because we take the slacker, we take the sluggard, we take the guy who's been unfaithful, and we keep rewarding them. And the guy who is faithful is taxed heavier. And it's done by both parties. Now, it's not, you know, this is why I'll tell you what, we need a spiritual change in America, because I tell you, I believe it is hopeless. It is hopeless with the two-party system we got. I believe it's hopeless from their standpoint. I don't believe you can trust the thing. I'm just looking to God. I don't trust none of them with nothing, because they'll do anything. Look, you don't see God, you start doing things with man's way. You start, well, this is how we have to recover. I'm going to talk about a thing this morning that the church will get in, that the church will begin to move into it. We can bring prosperity to a nation. One of the reasons, and what I'm talking about, I'm going to talk about the tithe. We can bring prosperity to the nation. We can turn things around this nation. But if the church will not move into the tithe, if the church won't, the church will hold back. Hold back what God wants to do in the earth. Because we have to respond to what God's word says to do. And much of the church world, the majority of Christians don't tithe. Majority of Christians, they believe tithing is Old Covenant, which it is not. It was done in the Old Covenant, but it wasn't started there, and it doesn't end there. And we need to understand. I mean, that's just a start. The Bible talks about tithes and offerings. So, and understand this. If tithing ended in the Old Covenant, so did offerings, so we don't have to give any money at all. So let's just get down to where the rubber hits the road. I mean, people who say that are just downright stupid. Because then if it was in the Old Covenant, I mean, hey, thou shalt not kill was in the Old Covenant, I guess we don't have to, we can go ahead. Well, I've got to get the gun out any minute, you know. I'm just going to, you know. I mean, people are ignoramuses. And they are. And they let the devil, really, the devil has robbed the church in the areas of prosperity. Now, and I just want to say, I don't know who tithes and who doesn't tithe. You know what your money, I don't know what your check is, what you get. I don't know that. So I don't know who tithes or who don't tithe. I don't know. So, but I want to say this. We're in this changing time and season that we're in, this change in time and season. This has to do with entering into the place where the people who have been faithful and walk and doing what's right are going to step into big reward. Now, if we've missed it, well then just get on doing right and you can walk into it. And it's a huge thing. I'm going to tell you what, it's a big thing, and people need to step into it, because this does is not going to just affect money. It's going to affect your health. It's going to affect your soundness. You're going to find out, people, I found this out over the years, people who wouldn't respond to God financially had all kind of problems in their family. Money's a biggie, folks. If money's my God and I'm holding on to it tight and don't want to release it, I'll guarantee you it'll cause a ton of problems in a person's life. It'll cause huge problems. You can't serve God and money. You can't do it. And I want to talk because there's a great blessing, and we want to walk in that blessing that God has. We also talked about the law of the Spirit of life. The law of the Spirit of life, you have to walk in line with that. That's a principle you have to walk in line with. The law of the Spirit of life if you want to prosper. And also we also talked about seeking God, seeking His kingdom. Is one of the things that the Bible says that we need to do. In other words, you do that first. You put it first of seeking God, and you seek His kingdom. You've got to put God first. If you want God's blessing in your life. Now, there's times you'd like people, we may get blessed here, get blessed there. But if you want to walk in full blessing, we have to pick up these principles constantly. They have to be doing it all the time. It's not sometimes I seek God when problems happen. And then when everything's going good, well, you know, I'm just out here doing my thing. And then when things go bad, then, oh, I'm really after God. I'm going to tell you what, I believe the door is going to close to people on that. I believe this, what the Scripture says, that people will come to the place, they'll call on to God, and He won't listen to them. He will not hear them. I don't care if they're a Christian. I don't care if they're born again and they had been filled with the Spirit. If people don't get in line with things, God's going to close the door on some stuff. God is long-suffering, but He will judge. He suffers long. It don't say He suffers forever unless you get away with it. But the church has basically believed that. And so there's things that we need to come in line with. We also, last week, we talked about there's areas of doing the Word of God. We talked about doing. You got to do it. You got to do it. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe and not do, and it doesn't matter. It's doing the Word. We talked about two areas in doing. We talked about giving and over the areas of the dirty word, work. The dirty word of America is work. Because, you know, if you work, God will make you rich, and they'll persecute you if you get rich in America. Unless you're liberal. Then you're allowed to be rich because you have all the right beliefs. You can kill kids and you can do all the stuff you want to do. You're all right with your money. It's those conservatives that get money. Those people who believe in God, those idiots, you know, that they believe in that stuff. They shouldn't have money. No, they shouldn't have them. Well, God's going to change some things. Things are being changed. Those people love doing all that stuff. I can imagine. Just think about it. When the church leaves, all those wonderful people get to live here together. Can you imagine how that's going to be? Because who are they going to persecute for their problems? And when things don't get fixed for 7 years, and all these plagues fall on the earth, who are they going to criticize? They can't say it's been them dumb Christians over there, because the people who will believe are here, they're going to kill them. I'll tell you what, some of these people, I'll tell you what, they're going to have a big time when Jesus comes. Because they're going to think, and I totally believe this, I believe this with all my heart, I believe there's many people in the earth are going to be excited when the church leaves. They think, oh, we got rid of those idiots. We got rid of those. Nah, things. See, people say, oh boy, men are going to cry out. No, they ain't. We're going to go, and the devil's people are going to act like the devil. I'm serious. They're just going to act like the devil. They're going to trust in government more. They're going to follow a new government. They're going to follow it even more. And that government's already being put in the world system in operation today. We got it in America. What do you think our government is now? It's in line with the Antichrist system, moving more to more, making people Lord and God. Did you hear what that there Jamie Foxx, the one guy, you know, who's an actor and all this kind of stuff, Jamie Foxx? He publicly called Obama Lord and Savior. Oh, I'll guarantee you, there are loads of people in America believe that. There's loads of church people in America believe He's the Savior. When he said that, I just think he's finally one of the few that got honest about what most people are walking in America. He said that he made this statement. He said, "Thank God and our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama." That's what he said. He said it in a speech thing he did. That's what he said. And you know what? Well, most of you didn't hear much about it, did you? No, because the media, man, wow, sounds all right to them. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It's good stuff. Glory to God. We did some foundational scriptures that we had in our teaching. One of the things we did in our teaching was 3 John, the second verse of 3 John says, Beloved, and this was John speaking, he said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So prosperity, you know, in other words, to prosper financially, but we also want to prosper in health. You want to prosper spirit, soul, and body. It's not good to prosper in one thing and not another. You can have one area where you do well in your life and another area where, you know, things just don't work out well at all. And so you want to prosper, and it's God's plan, prosperity. We also use Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may what? Establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as to this day. Understand, God, and you need to get this principle, God did not give you wealth so you could just live a good life. God wants you to live a good life. He wants you to be in health. But you have to get into God's plan of helping God establish His covenant in the earth. If you are not involved in that, to what the Bible tells us how to be involved in that, then really we're not in a position for God to be able to prosper us. And I want to say that because today we're going to talk about the tithe. There's many people that are not in God's program. Much of the church world is not in God's program to establish the covenant. You know, most of the church world's running around out here. Most of the church world's running all kind of programs, ideas, things, selling stuff, doing things, trying to get the world's money so they can keep their church going, selling them dinner, selling them tickets to this and this to that and the other thing, and they're doing all this stuff. You know, and why not? I mean, we teach our youth groups, that's what we do. Our youth groups ain't nothing but sales places. And we teach them, we grow up and wonder why youth groups and youth, oh, it's so hard to reach youth today. Why? They don't want to be in business. They were taught they were going to go to school and not do a thing, and then they want to sell stuff. So you go to church, and then a youth group runs around and turns around and goes around trying to sell something to everybody. I don't care if you ever buy a calendar. I'm just giving you the opportunity. It's number one, I ain't going to give it to you free. If you want to give it to somebody as a gift, I ain't giving you somebody so you can go give it to somebody and say you're giving them a gift when you didn't. That's what that's about. It ain't about buying and selling. But we have this nonsense that goes on, as the Lord told me. The Lord spoke to me back in the 1980s about that. He said the reason that most of the church world's out here is buying and selling because they have been taught it in the youth groups. And he said even the churches that call themselves good, that they teach tithing and things, they teach those things to the adults, but then over to the kids, you buy and sell stuff. That's what you do. That's how you make it work. Well, one day they grow up and they take over the church. What do they do? And the Lord told me, He said they do exactly the way they've been taught. They're running around looking at everybody else's money, trying to get it into the church. I had a person come to me one time and said about, you know, they were asking to collect donations for a certain thing, an organization, you know, just the organization does good. But I just said, I do this to people all the time. I said, how much did you give? See, they come and asking. Majority of the people that I have ever asked that, this is their answer. And I do this all the time to people. How much did you give? You know what they say? Well, my giving is my going around and collecting. Well, I said, then that's going to be my giving to you. I'll ask somebody if they'll give you some. I said, that'll be my giving them too. I said, and I tell them, I will not give to. I'm not going to give to it so you get a pat on the back when you have not given. If you ain't going to put your money into it, it ain't important I put mine into it. Woo, good preaching, folks. I hope none of you have been that dumb. And if that embarrasses you, you should be embarrassed to go say that kind of stuff. If you're not going to put your money in it, don't you dare ask anybody else to. Because I know what your God is now. It's your money. No, if you ain't going to put your money in it, it ain't putting his money in it. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, folks. This is why the church, many people cannot prosper and they can't get God involved in their health. All kinds of things. is because of what they do. They're out of whack of God's plan. They're totally out of whack. You know, you wouldn't want to ask, you know, somebody, you know, a preacher to stand up and tell you, you know, it's wrong to commit adultery while they're doing it. You know, it's okay if the preacher's not. Well, it's the same. It's all the same. You don't go around asking somebody for money when you ain't got your money in it. You get involved in it. See, and how much you get involved in it. I've sat down and I've told people straight already. They talk about, well, you know, giving that stuff. And they'll say, well, you give people, how much do you give? I've asked people, how much do you give your income? They go around giving. Well, you find the people, well, I give, and I say, hey, hold it. Don't tell me. I want to know how much you, what percentage of your income do you give? And you meet out of the hymn hole, and I say, look, you're lying to me, and I know it. You know how much you give or you don't give. Let's get this thing straight. And what you do is you try to go around and hound the people who already give. You go hound the givers. That's what they find out. That's one thing. See, you get these ministries do that. They'll turn around and find out who is the giver and who gives, and that's the guy they go after all the time. And then they give, and some of these ministries, you give your money to them, and then they go help the guy that won't give. Good preaching, folk! You know, that's why you ain't supposed to be stupid. You're supposed to be smart and knows what's going on. It's one thing I learned a long time. God's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's kind to people. But God don't have a welfare system. And if you don't accept Jesus Christ, you won't be in heaven. I don't care how long-suffering and merciful He is. You'll spend eternity in hell. He doesn't bypass it because I'm long-suffering and merciful. So you get to go in hell. See, there's so much that we've messed up, and really the body of Christ, where people don't understand the principles that God has laid out and expects us to walk in. Why? Because we keep calling out for the full blessing. We want the we want God's power poured out. But, you know, I walk somewhat in what God wants to do. But we really need to understand how important it is. Is what we want to walk in God's full blessing. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin, I try to bless my people as much as I can. But he said, my full blessing is on my perfect will. He said, if you're in my perfect will, you never have to ask me to bless you. When I first heard that, the first thing that came to me, no wonder people are always asking God to bless them. They know they ain't in the perfect will of God. They got to go, you know. It's funny, you know, because I remember people, you know, they thought I was really weird, you know, sometimes of the things that God has called me to do. And I remember when I first mission trip, I went on with Rhema, and we went down to Peru, and they had, Peru was having a civil war was going on at that time. They had communist insurgents and stuff were going on down there. And God told me to go to Peru on this mission trip, so I did it. And the most amazing thing that I always got from these Christians is I would get from Christians all the time. Did you pray about going on down there? Don't you know what's going on down there? And I'd always say to them, I ain't prayed one lick. I said, I don't need to pray a lick about going down. I said, I know I'm supposed to go. God told me to. Why would I pray about that? See, if God told me to go, I don't go watch the news media and then see what they have to say about it and then make a decision and pray because, well, Lord, didn't you hear Walter Cronkite? Lord, didn't you hear what he said? How about Huntley? Didn't you hear what Huntley said? You know, that goes back to the old ones. You know, some of us older folks might remember those. Younger people don't. Shows my age, you know. But it's all right. But you know, I mean, that's the way people are. They'll sit around and say, I didn't need to. Then people ask, well, did you pray for protection? I said, you think God sent me down there to kill me? If I have, God sends me somewhere and I have to try to convince Him to protect me while I'm there in His perfect will, then I ain't going nowhere for that guy. That's like I work for a business and they're sending me someplace and they ain't going to take care of me. I got to take care of myself. Well, then I ain't going for you. I ain't going, you know what? I got to pay my money. Dear God. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. But see, you come in line with the will of God. When you're in line with the will of God, you're in line with the blessing of God. That's what the tithe is about. Now, I want to go over, I want to look, dealing with the tithe. Back to the book of Genesis, the 14th chapter. Genesis, the 14th chapter, because we want to look at the fact Genesis is not under the, it's not the law, and we're going to find that this, we have here the mention of the tithe. The mention of the tithe, and this is before the law. This is before, there's no, the law isn't good. Abraham, and understand, I've taught before on Abraham. Abraham walked in a covenant of promise, not a covenant of law. His covenant was like our covenant. It's a covenant of promise by faith. That's our covenant. Abraham, that's why the Bible doesn't tell us, he don't say, you're children of Moses. You're children of Abraham, of faith of Abraham. That's why, because we're identified with Abraham. We're not identified with the law. Now, if I want to walk over in some blessing of things, I ought to find out some things about Abraham. Abraham's mentioned numbers of times in the New Testament. So if I want to find out about blessing, I need to be, when it talks about living the life of faith, I mean, we're living the life of faith, and Apostle Paul wrote about Abraham, how to walk in faith, how to do it. He was the example of it. Well, if I want to find examples about some things, then I should look at Abraham. I can look at Abraham, see some things. Now, it's Genesis 14. Verse 14 says, now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. It says, he divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of the, whatever those guys' names are, I don't know. Anyhow, he says, the kings who were with him. Says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now, I want to talk about this because one of the things that is people talk about this, people say, well, this is the first time that's mentioned tithe. You need to understand what took place here. And we have to ask some questions. Number one, was the tithe Abraham's idea? We have to establish it. Was it Abraham? In other words, Abraham decided on, this is what I'm going to do in giving to God. Was it Abraham's decision from the standpoint to set an amount that he was going to do? What he was going to do? We have to ask that question. Now, I was been reading after some commentaries, and I've heard people say, well, it was custom for the kings of those time period to give their priests and that stuff 10% of what, you know, their spoils and stuff and things like that. It was custom to that. Well, then I just asked myself the question. Well, then, in other words, did the pagans set the standard? If they did, then the law's invalid. Because the law does not declare the righteousness of God. The law was man's idea of what man, how man ought to serve God. It wasn't how God ought to, men ought to serve God based on God's principle. In other words, God established a principle with, well, men like to give 10%. Let's use that one. That'll be the standard. Where did this standard come from? I can tell you where it came from. It came from God. It was passed on down. This was a practice. We need to understand this. Melchizedek was not the first priest of God in the earth. God had priests in the earth before the law. Because Melchizedek's there. And we know that he's not the only one who was there. Now people talk about Melchizedek, was he really a man? He was, because we want to find out, it says he was a man. But we need to understand this. Abraham knew this guy because of what took place. What took place when Melchizedek came out to meet Abraham, he had bread and wine. What's the bread and wine? Well, that's about covenant. See, what do we do? Bread and wine? We confirm, you use bread and wine to confirm covenant. See, Abraham recognized Melchizedek as the priest of God, who represented man between heaven and earth. That's what the priest does. The priest represents man before God. Actually, Melchizedek stood in a higher office than Abraham did. He stood in a higher office, which we'll go on over to read about that then, because it says that the lesser is blessed by the guy who's more. You know, the guy who, he's the guy that does the blessing. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham, which means he was above him. He was above him. He was the priest of God's priest in the earth. And it's interesting because we find out this. This is why when we're looking at tithing and giving the tenth, is because we see something from this that is not seen except in the new covenant. It's not seen under the law. The law had priests who were came out, and we'll read about this. The law had priests, and those priests only stood in the office of priest. That's all they were. But we see Melchizedek is a king priest. In our covenant, we have a king priest, and his name's Jesus. And under this covenant of king priest, that's what we are. The tithe was established under the king priest, not under the law. And if it took place under the king priest Melchizedek, then it must take place under the king priest in our covenant. Or Jesus is a lesser king priest. Well, you won't get anybody who says they believe the Bible would say that. And see, we need to understand this. Melchizedek came out with the bread and wine. Why? What was he doing? They were reaffirming covenant. Abraham had a relationship with this guy. See, we have a, this is the, you know, this is why we get the educational approach to the Bible. The educational approach looks at it, the Bible, and specifically what it says. But, you know, you can learn a lot from the Bible about what it don't say. I mean, you look at this thing here. Why is this all of a sudden Melchizedek? That they've always taught like Melchizedek just showed up that day. Like that day he came out. Just because that's the first it's written about him. But we find the Apostle Paul goes over, tells us, and we'll read about that then. The Apostle Paul, writing in his Hebrews, wrote about that. But we find that the blessing was given. So Abraham, we look at Abraham. Abraham turned around and looked at this man as the priest of God. And he treated him as the priest of God. And he did it by giving him a tenth. It's like I said, where did the idea of the tenth came? It had to come from God, or you would have never seen it under the law. God wasn't going to take a standard that men set of what the tithe ought to be. It was chosen by God. It was passed on down the line. Because we know that it was passed on. We have, if we look down, with Jacob tithe. When Jacob, you know, everybody talks about Jacob's dream and Jacob's ladder. They never talk about the tithing part. This is not under the law. But Jacob, we find in Genesis 28. Genesis 28 and verse 18 starts in speaking concerning Jacob. When he rose early in the morning after his seeing the dream of the angels going up and down the ladder, it says, then Jacob rose early in the morning in verse 18 and took the stone that he had put his head set up as a pillar. And it says, and his hand poured oil on the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then it says, Jacob made a vow, saying, in other words, this is Jacob's vow. If God will be with me and keep me in his way, that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, and then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. See, it's establishing the covenant. You need to understand. You know, when we take communion, our communion is establishing the same thing. What did Jesus tell us about God providing us food, clothing, and all that stuff? He said he would. See, God is already under our covenant. It's an automatic provision that God would do that on the basis of the covenant. That's why it tells us. We seek God. We don't seek the stuff. We don't seek the things. And so just like with him here, he says, okay, God, in other words, he's taking God his covenant. He says, God, here I am. Okay, you said you'd do this stuff for me. You do this, I'll be a tither. Well, see, there ain't no point to me. There's no point to the tithe if it don't work. There's no point to it if it wouldn't work. I know the tithe works. Wanda and I started in the things that tithe, we saw what it did in our life. We saw how the tithe began to work for us and what it did. It's one of the things, I just want to let you know this. You will never walk in divine health not talk, not tithing. You can forget to try to, you know, you can always believe God to be healed when you get in trouble, but you'll never walk in divine health till you come in with the principles of God. There's things you got to walk in line with to come to that place to walk in divine health. You got to come there to do it. You can't have it not doing something else, because it's tied to it. It's about obeying God. It's, look, through the tithe, we are declaring God to whom He is. We are helping to establish God's covenant. See, I can say that I believe in God, and you know, and I believe, oh yeah, Jesus is Lord, and blah, 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 blah. But we have to help establish the covenant in the earth, and through the tithe is how we do it. Under the law, they did the same thing. The covenant was established through the tithe. It was part of what was helped establish the covenant. It kept the ministry running. It keeps ministry running. You know, if you just take from the tithe standpoint, which when the majority of Christians don't tithe, is one of the reasons why there's so much shortage in the church world on the areas of giving and establishing God's covenant. It's why it is. God's not put first in people's lives. God's put down the line somewhere. So we have here that we're Jacob turn around. Well, we found out about Jacob's blessing. But I want to ask you this question. Who did Jacob give to? How did he give his tenth? If there's no priests around to give it to, what did he do? Just take it out there and threw it up in the air, took his money and threw it up in the air, and said, God, you take whatever you want, and whatever hits the ground belongs to me. There was a joke as a minister one time, he said, by giving to the Lord, he said, yeah, I take the offering, and he said, whatever God, he said, I throw it up in the air, and I tell God, he takes whatever he wants, whatever hits the ground belongs to me. And I know we laugh about that. There's a lot of people, they never even throw it in the air, they just keep it. Now the tithe really is during the area is a tenth. In other words, there was a standard of a thing of established. And really, the tithe is the beginning. The tithe is the beginning of serving God. But there's many people, it's like I've heard ministers say this, you know, you can give offerings all you want, but God don't, if you don't tithe, God never considers whatever you've done before as giving an offering to anything. See, you got to do what's right first. Is starting on what's right first. It's one of the reasons to bring God's blessing. It's just like we want a move of God in our nation. We can't pray for God to bring a move in our nation and at the same time don't help in establishing the covenant. See, that's one of the things that I do in tithing. In my tithing, I'm helping to supply. It's just like with our church. Our church, the money that we get, we support ministries. There's other ministries that we support, and we support those ministries. Why? To help establish the covenant. That's what it's about. That's what it's about, establishing the covenant. We're helping God's plan. We're helping God's plan. Too much of the church world is not helping the plan of God. They're not doing it. They're trying to get somebody else to do it. We have today churches taking government money, doing all that kind of stuff. They're looking to somebody else, trying to establish the covenant. You know, doing all kind of programs that have nothing to do. They get these money to do programs that has nothing to do with establishing the covenant. And they act like, well, we're really doing good. They're not doing good. I like Abraham's attitude. Abraham came back. He gave a tenth of the spoil to the priest. And the king of Sodom said, look, you can take all the wealth and all this stuff. You can take that stuff. Just give us our people back. And Abraham said, I ain't having anybody said you made me rich. He said, God's the guy that makes me rich. He wouldn't take the guy's stuff. He gave back to it. He gave it back to him. Not today. Oh, if the government hands it, take it. We're serving Jesus. Glory to God. We're serving Jesus with the money. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They find out you're serving Jesus with it, they'll take you to court and make you give it back. You ain't allowed to use it. It's illegal to use it for anything that promotes the gospel. And if you set up a program to give people, to help people out, you got to give it to anybody who asks. You ain't allowed to say, well, this guy was a lazy bum. He was a lazy bum. You got to give it to him. Because that's the way the government works. You know, go spread your legs, knock out babies, stay at home. We'll feed you, take care of you, and help you pump a few more of them out. You know, and you don't worry. Your boyfriend can come over and live with you. Don't worry about it. My God, our town's full of that. But it's not only promoted by the government, it's promoted by the church. The church promotes it. We need to get over. We need to come. The church needs to begin to come back into line. But so the tithe was established. So I don't know. People talk about who Melchizedek was. Well, Melchizedek was a man, but we need to understand this. Shem, who was the Abraham's Moses's Noah's son, was still alive at this time in the earth. Now I want you to think, he's past the flood. He is still alive in the earth. He lived 600 years. He's still alive over on this side. Some people say it was him, that he was the one. But I want you to understand this. In the land of Canaan, where people act like everybody there was pagan, they couldn't have been, because the king of Salem up in Jerusalem was the city that they called Salem. Where is Jerusalem today? Was called Salem. He was the king of Salem. That's where the Jebusites lived. There was a guy who was there who was the priest of God, lived at that place. Who lived there. He was a priest of God. Now, the Bible talks about we didn't have all the genealogies and all these things. All that stuff didn't go on, that this guy didn't fall under. This guy was appointed by God. He wasn't appointed by genealogy or anything to do that. But understand, he was called the King of Righteousness. So this was a man, look, he was a man. If he was living in Abraham's time, righteousness could not have been worked by the works of the law, because he had no law to follow. This man was righteous by faith. He was a man like Abraham. He was a man of faith. He was called King of Righteousness. And so we have a king priest. Well, really, righteousness by faith signifies the kingship, priestship of the church today. And so we need to see that really we have the picture of the priesthood of the church of Jesus Christ. We have it in Abraham's day. The law was a filler in between. So see, when people come along and say, well, we don't tithe anymore because that was under the law, they don't know God. They don't know much about Him. They don't know, they don't understand. One thing they don't understand, they really don't understand faith. They don't understand about faith, because they look at Abraham as being under law. Now, I want to share something like under the law. It said, Proverbs makes this statement. And see, people will take these scriptures out. Now, this is a scripture under the law, and people take them out. It says in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 9 and 10, says, honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Understand, under the law, if we went back to Deuteronomy and looked at Deuteronomy 28, what did it say they had to do to have the blessing on them? Was it just tithe? No, it said you got to do all the law. So I want you to understand this. Tithe itself isn't everything. See, people think, well, I'm going to get wealth if I tithe. Well, I could tithe and not really ever have it help me in the way it's supposed to, because of not walking in the light of other things in the Word. See, we got to go over to our own covenant. We got to walk in light of our own covenant. That's why these principles I'm teaching about faithfulness. You get a person can tithe, but they're not a faithful in other things. They're not faithful. It's going to affect. It's going to bring effect to them. See, we've got to walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. We have to live in it. The Bible gives us the law of love. You get a person won't walk in love. Well, you can tithe, but don't expect much to happen. What does it say about? He said, you know, when you're over here, he said, you can give your body to be burned. You can give all that you got. But he said, you don't walk in love if you're a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. In other words, it don't matter if you tithe. See, it isn't about it. Now, we understand it. Tithe is hugely important. It's a principle that God established, because really, tithe is recognizing God is first. That's what we do. God is first. With what I have in the earth, I recognize God is first. In other words, what is put into my hands, I'm recognizing God as being first. I know most people, they look at their checks and they think the government's first. But I tell you what, that don't bother me. I pay no attention to the tax bit. My wealth don't come, and the government, you know, they don't control that. Hallelujah. I mean, our government today is trying to do what else, to attack people and take as much as it can, and it's mad because there's some people just keep getting more wealthy, and it makes them madder all the time. They try their best. Well, I'm going to tell you, if we'll turn around, you know, we can get over it. We can fuss about what the government's doing. We can get into that. I'm going to tell you what, that's only going to hurt you. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's getting harder and harder to give. No, it's getting easier for Ed to give. It's easier and easier. I'll never put it on my lips. I will never say it. I'd rather die and leave this earth today than say such a cursed thing. That's a curse. That's talking under the curse. You don't talk that stuff. Well, the government, my words, they keep, they'll take it around and we won't be able to write it off. I'll tell you, it ain't going to stop. I'm going to keep on giving. Because I'm on the road to prosperity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The government has no say in it. See, if you give them say and you give them the place, you let them start talking into your life, and you do that by you getting it on your voice and saying it. You start saying it. You start getting. You keep listening to these shows and stuff on radio and TV where they're always complaining about everything. You keep talking what they're talking. I'll tell you, you'll be in the same hole there. You know, really, they don't realize. You know, talking about problems all the time ain't solving problems. Hearing about how bad it is, I don't need to hear how bad the government's doing all the time. I'll tell you what, after a while, I won't pray for them. I'll just say, God, kill them all. Drop a bomb on them. Murder them today. That's right. You can't be listening to that stuff. It doesn't. And see, it's one of the things. We've got all this junk going on. The world can't be part of this thing. You know, there's things that's wrong. And look, there's nothing wrong with people notifying with people about what's wrong. But to sit for 2, 3, 4 hours on a radio every day or on TV and just harping it all the time, say, hold it! What does that do for anybody? Does nothing. And especially, it don't do nothing for me. All I do is get mad. I got enough trouble with my flesh without helping some other guy get it over on me. Dear God. Wow, did you hear what the government... Did you hear? Oh, man, I get preachers and... I block them off of my email because preachers say, did you see this latest video, what the government's doing? Nobody say, I know what you're doing and I can't stand it. But you sure do help the devil by promoting all the evil you can. Minister, I block them off my email. I don't need to be. I know how bad it is. I don't need to read it again. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about the time. Now, one of the things in Malachi, we want to go to Malachi and read. Because Malachi talked to them under the law. But you need to understand the principle here. It might be under law, but you need to understand this. Because the tithe, the principle of the tithe did not come from the law. So therefore, we can read it here in the law concerning this. We can learn some things. We don't tithe like we tithe under the law. Under the law, men tithe to get blessed. Under our covenant, Abraham, we're under a covenant of promise. Abraham had a covenant of promise. God told him, you go to the land, I'll bless you. He went to the land, and God blessed him there in that land. Abraham walked by faith and believed God. He was a man of faith. And a covenant of promise is made for people of faith. The law is not made for people of faith. But the law showed how God's view, the law showed what God considered was righteous that men should do. That's what the law was. It was to show man, his weakness of not following God. God's expectation is this. And that's what the law did. The law showed God's expectation. But the only way that you and I could reach God's expectation is when Jesus took our sins on the cross, died, was raised from the dead through faith. He took the judgment that was upon us. And so we meet the standards. Jesus Christ fulfilled the standards of the law. And when you and I responded to Christ by faith, we fulfilled the standard of the law. Now that doesn't mean we just disobey everything. We don't have to obey anything. That's what a lot of people believe today. Well, you know, I'm not under judgment. Well, you will be. You keep living like hell. There's no such thing as it goes away. Now under Malachi, it was said this, God speaking to the children of Israel. He's speaking to them. This is the last book of the Old Testament. And so in this book, God is speaking to the children of Israel. If you go through and read what the prophets were talking to them, they're not living right, they're not walking right. In other words, they have the temple and things, and you'll find out this about Israel. Israel would go through periods where they would follow God, then they'd have kings and they'd follow God, then they'd get away from God, and they're back and forth. The temple would be open and closed. fused and not used. And this is what God's dealing with. And I want you to see this because you have to understand what the climate was to understand what God's saying here to apply it to Christianity today. See, they make the emphasis all about money. But what is the money for? What's it about? It ain't just about money. Because if you don't understand what it's for, it becomes a thing. Well, you'll sit down and decide, well, do I want to do it or don't want to do it? Well, you're going to have to decide, what's God doing? Am I going to help God or I'm just going to help me in what I'm doing? And this is what it's about. In the 8th verse, it says, it asks this question, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. In other words, under the law, the requirement of the tithe was a requirement that man must give. That was the requirement. We find with Abraham, we don't know that Abraham was ever told that tithing was a requirement. We don't have anybody that we have with Jacob that it was a requirement. They did that because they wanted to do that for God. That's the way Christians ought to tithe. We tithe out of love because why? We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Our covenant is a covenant of promise. We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do it, especially with us. If Abraham, a non-born again man, just wanted to give God 10 and he wanted to follow that, and Jacob wanted to do it, the church ought to be so excited about it instead of trying to get away from it. They should be just downright, wow, we're allowed to, glory to God. I can give God 10%. Hallelujah. Well, see, it's the same purpose. He said, did you rob me? In other words, they have robbed God. Like Randy Greer said, you know, is you can't rob from somebody from something that belongs to you. See, many people get their paycheck and they say, this belongs to me. Well, all of my paycheck don't belong to me. And a person will say, this belongs to me, but they'll talk about, I gotta pay rent or I gotta pay a house payment this week. See, all your money don't belong to you. We deal it out to other men and we let them put a hold on it and then wonder about God. Well, God, you're down here. I just hope I have enough money to give an offering this morning. See, God's on the bottom of the totem pole. See, that's why people get in a mess today. You put God on the top, you're gonna do this. You're gonna start taking responsibility for your money. If you put God on the top, see, we go out here and what most people use their money to fulfill the lust of their flesh. They buy what they want. They just go buy what they want and then God's the leftover. But when they're in trouble, they want God to be the guy that's on the top. Get me out of trouble. No. There's this dumb scripture in the New Testament that you reap what you sow. You sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. It don't say if you sow to the flesh, God will take care of you anyhow. It don't say that, does it? Most people, they believe it's like that. I just go sow to the flesh and it's just going to all turn out anyhow, okay. You know, I meant to do right. I didn't really want to shoot that guy. I just got upset at the time. Oh, okay, you don't have to go to jail. Don't worry about it. That's all right. But he said, you robbed God. And that's what he says. You're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even the whole nation. He says, "What? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food on my in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer, he says, for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." Now, we want to look at some things as principle. His principle here is the things that he looks at. He's talking about the tithe. Now, the tithe under the law, that was a requirement for them to do. And why was it a requirement? Was God just wanted to just get in people's wallet? That's what he wanted to do. He just, you know, I just want to take some of this. You need to understand, God personally got no money. God personally didn't get a thing. It's always been this way. The tithe has come in to keep the ministry going. Israel would always end up in their big troubles when they would stop giving the money to the ministry they were supposed to give. Why? Because when ministry stops, God stops moving. You need to understand, under the law, the priests and the Levites ran the temple where every day sacrifices were made for the people. So the people would not be cursed. So that God could pour out His blessing on them. The blood was shed every day. And once a year, when they would turn around and stop tithing, the priests and the Levites would have to leave and go get jobs and go to work to make money. And the whole time, the nation's under a curse because the God's form of worship was not happening. So the entire nation ends up under a curse. This is why we have one of the problems in America today. Why our nation is in its direction. Because our nation is under a curse because most of the church don't do a thing about establishing the covenant. Most of the church world is out here with their first emphasis is to give money to the poor and not money. They look at, these rich preachers. Should I tell you what? The priests in the old covenant were and the Levites were well taken care of. They weren't the poor people in the bunch. And God wanted them to be blessed. Now, I'm not saying this because I'm a minister, but I'm going to tell you what. You don't treat ministers right, you forget about this prosperity thing. Just go do something else. If you don't like a minister living better than you, you'll never live better. You'll stay sick, you'll have problems, you'll have things. Your family, the devil will get in your family and your kids and cause all kinds of troubles. See, this is why people say, well, I'd be a good Christian, not go to church. You couldn't be a good Christian and not go to church because you're not helping establish the covenant, you're not sowing into God's plans and purposes, and you're bringing defeat and curse on the nation. Woo! You see, they've always played it from the money angle. They don't get what's going on. Most of the church world and most ministers even preach prosperity, don't even know what it's about. It's about keeping the covenant operating in the earth. America has very little of the covenant operating in our nation. And people are out here, we give billions to the poor, and even the church does. Their whole emphasis is how much, well, we can give to the poor and give to the poor and give to the poor and give to the poor. What about the ministry? Ministry don't matter anymore. Our ministry is taking care of other people, all except the ministry. No, give us a 10-15 minute sermon and let us go. I'll throw some money in there, you give the poor, and what a good guy I am. There's not establishing the covenant. The more the covenant is established, the sounder the nation. We're giving. We're giving to help God establish His covenant. This is why in the end times it talks about people are going to have itching ears. They're going to draw teachers to themselves. You think that's going to make a better nation? A better Christianity? They can throw all their money they want out there. They're nothing but loud sounding cymbals. That's all they are. They're going around doing what they think is good. And, oh, I even tithe. It don't matter. What do you tithe for? We're establishing the covenant. Hallelujah. There's a lot of money in the ministry, I know, because I put a lot in it. I've put a lot of money in the ministry. And there's a lot of money, but it's God's plan. And see, the tithe under the old covenant was this. It took care of the Levites and the priests. That's who it took care of. So they could continue. They didn't have to be out doing secular things. That's what it was for. Well, how much more in the New Testament? It's one of the things that I won't do. It's not my job. I'm not supposed to get into the business world. Ministers would do better. They stay out of business stuff. These guys going around trying to, well, God's blessing me and money on the side. God is supposed to bless us within the ministry that we're operating in. See, don't be one of these people run around and talk about, and well, your ministers, and they shouldn't have money, and they shouldn't have this and that stuff. And you don't ever knock another guy's money. Is number one, you ain't going to get none. You ain't going to get God to give you any money when you're knocking other people got money. You know, well, these rich people out here, they ought to pay more taxes. They already do. They pay a lot more than you do. They pay a lot more. When you think about in America, when we have the top 1% is paying over half the tax of America, of the income tax that comes in. When we have almost a half of our nation pays no tax, no federal income tax at all. And then turn around and have the nerve to talk about anybody not paying enough. I'm going to tell you, there's nobody in America that should not be paying tax. There is nobody. Under the law, there was a temple tax, and you were required it. And the tithe was required of the poorest person in the land. God didn't exempt anybody. If you want to have it to be a blessing, then you got to get your butt in behind it. You can't expect to be blessed and not have, like today they're talking about, you have no skin in it. You got to get your skin in it. You want to be blessed? You got to get your skin in it. You want to be blessed in this nation? They better make people get their skin in it, or they have no right to it, because they have no skin in it. Amen. They have nothing invested in it. Sitting around saying, "I can't because I'm poor." You're going to stay poor, and we're going to wear ourselves out trying to keep you alive. Let's just buy them boxes. Dear God, you see that sounds harsh? There'll be the defeat and destruction of this land if there's not a change goes on. Amen. God's provided a way of wealth, and even the church world doesn't want it. They want something else. See, you can't stop. When you stop the ministers, when today, man, I mean, people use their wealth, they use their money. If I had people in this who have come to this church over the years, have come to this church, and have told, you know, you don't do what I want, I'll pull my money. They use their money to try to get, and I just tell them, if you're here next Sunday, I'm going to tell everybody what you said to me. Because I said, you better get out of here quick. You ain't going to buy me. You ain't going to buy me. Forget it. Not sellable. I don't care how much you got. We started off our church. We had one guy who was the biggest giver. He gave more money to the church than the rest of everybody else combined. And then all of a sudden started telling me what he wanted me to do. And I told him, we ain't going there. He got sort of snide. He said, I'll pull my money out. I said, if you're in church next Sunday morning, I'm standing up in front of the whole congregation, I'm telling him what you said to me. All right? He said, you do that? I said, I'll guarantee I'd do it. I said, you scumbag, you get out of this church. I don't want to see you around no more. So he went down to a big church and they took him in even knowing what he did in our church. And they took him in while he had money and gave him a place in ministry. And you go there and you wonder why there ain't no move of God. I'll tell you why there ain't moves of God in places. Because they love money. People say, oh, they're a big ministry. They do a lot of good. I don't want to be in that pastor's shoes when he stands before Jesus. He did a lot of good to the world standard. But what about the kingdom? What about the kingdom? We got to walk in what's right and do what's right. No matter, it isn't about money. You know, I've always, from the time, you know, the one and I, you know, got over into the thing of tithing. I mean, we just constantly, we've done that. I've never regretted it ever. My words. We've tithed and praised God, blessed by God in doing it. But not only in tithing and giving offerings, because he, one of the things that said during Malachi, it was the tithes and the offerings is where the problem was. They were robbing God in tithes and offerings. Now, God doesn't have to rebuke the devourer for you. Let me just say that. God doesn't need to rebuke the devourer for you because you have the right to rebuke Satan. Under the old covenant, they didn't have authority over the devil. They didn't have any authority. You do. God's not going to rebuke the devourer. You can do that. Why wait on God to do it? You have the right to cast out devils. You can tell the devil. It's one of the things that Jesus told Kenneth Hagin. You tell the devil to get his hand off of your money. You do that. God's not going to do that. That's your job. You tell the devil to get his hands off your money. And we got to learn to do that. You know, people get in tough situations. Well, rebuke the devourer. The devil's out here, and he don't want you to get into this prosperity bit. He don't want this tithing stuff to work for you. He definitely don't want, and here's the whole thing, because he does not want the covenant to be established. That's what it is. You need to understand the basis of it. He wants to stop the ministry. He wants the ministers to go ahead and leave the ministry and go do something else. And the devil's done a wonderful job because 4 out of 5 will leave the ministry in a matter of about less than 5 years. He's done a good job of it. He's done a very good job. He's good at it. You know, and understand this. Tithing has nothing to do with people how they are financially. Back when Bill Clinton during the Bill Clinton second administration. The church, the church world had seen, you know, prosperity. Like during those times, the whole nation saw, during that time, we had a huge rise in our prosperity. I began to read some articles that were put out concerning things about churches, about surveys and giving. Now, during that period of time in administration, the churches of America were giving less toward missions than they had done in previous administrations before, yet we got more money. So don't ever, but nobody will ever convince me that tithing has anything to do with the amount of money you got. Because I've seen this time and time again. I've seen people who get more and more money, and the more they get, the less they give. They begin to serve the money. That's why you want to get your life right. You know, that's why you want to walk right. You know, I want to learn to be faithful with what I got. Hell, if I want to be, because I will never rule over anything else. If I get more, I'll never rule over it. It'll rule over me. Is by establishing right now. If I am not faithful with a little bit, if I don't see that it's important for me, I hear people, ministers do this, and I'll tell you, it makes me so mad. They'll say, oh, this person, they're too poor to give. You just told them, you know, move out of the slot for God to help you. Just don't give. As the Bible says, given shall be given unto you. That's God's plan. God's plan is when you fall into His giving category, now He can give to you. He can get on your side, get working in your tune. He can help establish the covenant. He wants you to be rich because He wants a lot of money to help establish the covenant. He don't want missionaries have to leave the field 4 or 5 months out of the year to come back to the United States and run around to churches and crying and moaning, trying to get money out of the people because they're sitting back here living good and saying, we're too poor to give while they live on the field worse than the people do here. I'm going to tell you, any missionary on the field, this American missionary, he ought to live the standard that any American lives in this country. He's an American. And we ought to support him at that rate. And if we don't, shame on us to ask somebody else to sacrifice, and we don't. Because I will tell you this, God hears their cry. And don't be surprised, that's why America's in the dump that they're in today. Because America's heard the cry. Now, not all Christians are. As many Christians are walking right, but the majority do not. You know, I can't demand a person to tithe, but I'm just going to tell you this. Don't bother doing a whole lot of praying about money if you ain't going to stick around getting God's plan, because it ain't going to work. I'll tithe if you make me rich. Yeah, well, when will you think you got enough to make you rich? When will that happen? Uh-huh. Because I know what happens with that. They never get rich enough. They never get rich enough. So, I want you to look in the Hebrews. Paul wrote about this in Hebrews. We want to read through this because I want you to see in the new covenant. Because Paul lays out the covenant of Abraham and the covenant of the priesthood of Melchizedek and the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And we want to look at this. Now, in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, it says this. For in verse 1, it says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Now, we have it confirmed in the New Testament that this man was a king and a priest of God. That's who he was. He was a king and a priest. Really, he is a truer representation of the Christian today than under the law with the priesthood of Aaron. And it was intended for that purpose. The priesthood of Aaron is not the picture because the priesthood of Aaron ended when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. So it can't be the picture of the church because it had a time that it ended. It cannot be the picture of the church. It's an impossibility because we're going to find out it ended. So our priesthood does not, our kingship and our priesthood does not fall under that category of priesthood. Thank God. Because if it did, you would never be a priest of God. You could never be one. Because you'd have to have the right genealogy. It says, for Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of the part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Gee, I wonder who he represents. I just can't figure that one out. Okay, hallelujah. But understand, this is a priest that God has had in the earth. You know, do you realize there's a Canaanite priest? God had a Canaanite priest in the land of Canaan. Abraham went over there, God already had a priest. Over there waiting for him. He's a Canaanite. Okay, it says, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning or days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now, I want you to say this. When this terminology used here does not mean that this guy was not a human being. What he's talking about, this is in reference to compared to the Aaron priesthood. You could not be in the Aaron priesthood without having the genealogy of mother, father, all of these things to fall in line. They're doing it today in Israel. Today, Israel, because there's groups that are getting ready to rebuild the temple. They've already, last year, they finished the altar. They made the altar burnt sacrifice. They made one of them. They're doing all these things. They've made clothing for the priesthood, and there's priests being trained already in Israel. But they must be able to prove lineage. If you had to prove lineage, you couldn't be saved. Hallelujah. We need to understand this. The priesthood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus, we're going to find out, he became a priest and he wasn't under the lineage, but became a priest under this new order. Actually, it was a new order. It was an order that had existed. He goes on, now consider how great this man, consider how great he was. See, we talk about Abraham's greatness. Whoa, Melchizedek. He says, consider how great this man was. He says, what was he? Was he a man? He says, the man, didn't he? Didn't say this guy that wasn't. He says a man. This man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he, whose genealogy is not derived from them, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So this guy, this man stood, he wasn't under the Levitical priesthood. He blessed Abraham, the one who had the promise. Abraham paid tithes to him. It says, now look, it goes on. Therefore, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnesses that he lives. Under the law, men receive tithes, but the priesthood of Melchizedek receives tithes, and in the same way as the priesthood of Jesus Christ, they receive the tithe. They don't not receive tithe. They said, here on the earth, this is the way it's done. We need to understand, we're of a heavenly kingdom. Abraham was operating in a heavenly operation and not in earthly. The law was earthly. It dealt with the flesh. The tithe that Abraham gave did not. It was based by faith and promise. It was based on faith of another kingdom. The law operated in a totally different way. It said even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. So in other words, in a sense, the blessing came on to Levi because of what Abraham did. The people of the faith are the ones that are carrying the blessing in the earth. It's not these jokers out here, whether law or not law. People don't understand. It's the walk of faith. It's the walk of faith. It says, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, it says, now listen, therefore his protection were through the Levitical priesthood. For under it the people received the law. What further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not called according to the order of Aaron? He's talking about perfection. Tithing has come into perfection under our covenant. Under the law, tithing wasn't made perfect. We had to have a new covenant to make tithing perfect. And that tithing, because it's under the priesthood that it's under. And it's whom the priest that we give it to. See, it's one thing as the heirs are given. Many people say, well, I'm not going to tithe to the church because I don't think they're doing right. Well, then you're not tithing to God. They're responsible for what they do with it. And if you're controlling the money that you're giving, then you have control of it and never did give it to begin with. The federal government has this for writing off, in our church. If you give money to the church and you say, I want it to be used for this, unless the board approves it, you cannot do that. Why? Because you are not giving till you release it. That's why the board has control over all money is given, not the people. Because if the people take control over it, it is no longer giving and it cannot be written off. If you don't leave control of what money you give, you still want to control what it's supposed to go to, then according to the government, you have not given. And they're right. God joins them in that and says amen. You know, God says amen to the IRS on that one. Because it's exactly right. It's exactly right. See, I see people do that. I've talked about this before. Give gifts to people and then get upset what the person does with it. So I'm going to give them anything anymore. Well, you never gave it to them to begin with. You still have it under your control. You're determining. You gave it, then give it and let it alone. It's not yours. If you gave it to them, then they can do what they want with it. If they're still owing to you on it, then you did not give it. And you can never count it as anything for a blessing towards you. This is why many people can't be blessed with a tithe, because they're always meddling. They don't, may not meddle to the church, but they meddle under their breath and they meddle about things. And I don't know why they don't do this. But I don't know why they, I don't know why they give to that. And I don't know why we don't do this. Well, the reason we don't, because it ain't none of your business. Amen. Good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. See, this is why many people don't realize that they're not givers. Many people are not givers. They always have a control. They always keep a control on things. I learned, you give it, let it go. Glory to God. Let it alone. Let it alone. God put in your heart to give something to something. You give it to it, let it alone. And see, that's what we got to learn to do that in the areas of giving. We got to learn to just give it. Let alone what people do with it. They'll answer to it. If I'm obedient in my giving, I will be blessed. I don't care what somebody else did with it. I'm going to be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we want to walk in the blessing God has for it. But there's a perfection. And under the Levitical law, there was not a perfect covenant. So to really, tithe wasn't operating the way God wanted it, not to the extent that God wanted it to operate. Really, we're in a covenant where the tithe will go to its full intent and full plans and purposes when man operates in it. We're under the place of the tithe that I don't have to give the tithe and get God to rebuke the devourer. Under this covenant is so great, I give the tithe and I can tell the devil to jump myself. Why? I'm a king and a priest in a kingdom now. I am in the kingdom. Children of Israel weren't in the kingdom. They weren't children of God. They weren't born again. They weren't in the kingdom. They had a promissory note to it one day when the Messiah came, but they weren't in the kingdom. Now you and I are in the kingdom. Hallelujah. And really, tithe and the giving should come to its fruition. I believe in these last days that's exactly what's going to happen. I believe there's going to be a great divide in the church world of who has and who don't. I believe God's going to raise up, because people, this, the reason we're teaching this, God wants you to get in faith of what you're doing, that you get in faith with it. You're under the covenant. You're under the covenant of perfection. The things that God has promised now are under perfection. Tithing is under perfection now. It's under the perfect covenant. It's not under the Levitical. When people say, well, that's under the law. Well, so we don't do it. No, I do it. I do it in my covenant. I give to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I tithe to him. I set aside a tenth to establish the covenant. And that's its purpose, is to establish the covenant. I'm on God's side because I want the covenant established. People who don't tithe are not helping to establish the covenant. I don't give to a church. I'm giving to God. I put it in his hands. If God can't raise up decent leaders, that's his problem. That ain't mine. He ain't as big as he said he was then. Hallelujah. He's every bit as big as he said he was. Glory to God. We need to walk in the light of these things. Hallelujah. It goes on, it says, for the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, for which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which the tribe of Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arise another priest who has come, not according to the law of fleshly command, but according to the power of an endless life. Folks, see, most of the church world thinks from the standpoint of the flesh, and we look at our life and our lifespan concerning this earth. We are a priesthood with an entire eternal life. We have eternal life. We're going to hold this position for eternity. Jesus Christ holds it. You accepted Jesus Christ by faith, who for eternity holds now the priesthood, not the Aaron, not the law. Our tithe is given to an endless life, a literal endless life. And you and I have literally stepped into this endless life. This endless life is the God life. And this is what this is where we're walking. We're under a covenant. You know, this is why, you know, death loses its sting. See, the church, when the church world doesn't obey God and they treat money like it's something just down here, you know, and really sort of worships it and, you know, just, you know, does everything it can to hang on to different things. We treat like ourselves, like we got this life that is going to end any minute. And we're just trying to take care of ourselves while we're here. We're supposed to live like we got an endless life. We got to live like we have a flow of God and a flow of supply from God, like it's endless. Now, people talk about, oh, get to heaven, all the nice stuff you have. I'm going to tell you, that's great. But I want some of it here. I want some of it on this side. I want to live like you can have it on this side. Not trying to live like, well, are we going to have enough? People say, well, you put these articles out all the time and they pump these things out. Are you going to have enough money to last your retirement? You know, and asking you if you're going to have enough money to last it. I'm going to tell you, if God can't take care of me, then just downright tough. That's his problem. And he don't get any money to establish a covenant because he don't take care of me. And I've been faithful. Too bad for him. He's a slacker. Hallelujah. Well, I believe I'm in a better covenant than that one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, God didn't intend people to retire for 40 years anyhow and not do anything. God wants people out here. He wants to have avenues of money. God wants to do stuff. God wants to, as we talked about, working and things. I'll tell you what, I don't believe in quitting that. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just didn't, God called me the ministry, and you know, he has never talked to me about the fact that I'm supposed to retire someday. And you just reach out, you're not going to preach anymore. You know, the anointing is just going to lift one day, and the call of God is just going to fall off my life one day, and I'm just going to be old Ed Gibson again. And then that's when I can retire. Now I could lose the Lord in living in sin, but but the call will always be there. The call will always be there. Yeah, but you know it is. It's always there. The call's always there. I don't know how people say it. You go, well, I just can't imagine myself. One day we flip a switch and this thing stops and this driving me stops. I mean, I wonder how that one works. You know, but I see it with people. If you live a godly life, there is a desire. There's a desire in me for something more and greater all the time. I don't understand people retire and go sit down. I can't get that. I can't quite grasp it because there's a drive in me for more. There's a drive that's in me is for more. Is well, I'm going to live in this earth. There's more for me to grab a hold of. There's more for me to have. I got to go further. That's the drive in me. And I didn't have that till I got God. I was like the world. Hey, let's go work somewhere and let's retire and do nothing. You know? And go sit down and not do anything. That's not the way it works, folks. You know, it's like I believe with Pastor Jay when he said, you're never too old to get rich. You're never too old to get rich. Hallelujah. And see, we need to understand. We need to have a desire. Say, you know, it's not to be satisfied in life. I can reach a place of satisfaction of what I have, but it's no longer about what I have. That's left me a long time ago. I want to do more. I want to have more to do more. There's things that need to be accomplished and done. It's not just with me. There's things that people need to accomplish, and I want to help them. It isn't about me having more. See, most people, they lose it. I mean, I would hate to have a 30-year goal, and that's it, and then you just pull the plug. I mean, to me, that's like the devil saying, come on, you're in. That ain't the way it works. Hallelujah. This is one of the reasons why the covenant don't get established in the earth. Because the world system has got into the church, and it's a socialistic system. It's man's system. It operates on man's society. You know, there's old pictures. They're watching the king out there, and they're waving palms over him, and he's sitting down eating pomegranates, and everybody's serving him. And that's what people think. That's what I want to arrive. I want to arrive at that place where this is what I do. I sit back. You go read David. You know, David was a king, and man, that guy's working until he died. And the whole thing it was establishing God's kingdom in the earth. He was establishing God's covenant. He did a wonderful job of it. Established God's covenant. He didn't go over and lay down and croak. But I want to tell you what, you talk about rich, he ended up big bucks. In the standard today, the man ended up with trillions of dollars. And he had a huge bunch of big wealthy people in his kingdom too. And then Solomon came around and got more extreme. And they didn't get it by going around laying down. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs about working and what happens to lazy people. There's a man of money. Today he'd be scorned, even in the church. In the church world, he'd be scorned because he no used him walking around wearing outfits with gold weaved in them. He could give that to the poor. And that there's what, you know, all the Judases would say. The church is full of Judases today who think they're righteous. And they're nothing but Judases. Because they ain't giving up all they got for the poor. But they're sure think everybody else ought to. Woo, good preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm not going to go on and read. You could read down through the rest of that chapter. And that chapter talks about, it goes on to talk about the priesthood. It goes on to talk about this new priesthood. If Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, Ed Gibson sure needs to tithe. And I'm not tithing because God is... It's one thing that's always like Kenneth Hagin said. He said, there's nowhere in the New Testament say if you don't tithe, God's going to out get you or do something to you. No, he doesn't. Doesn't say he's going to do a thing. And you know what? I don't give for that reason because I'm afraid God's going to give. I give because I want to be part of what God's doing. I want to be part of His plan. The Bible says I'm a worker together with Him. One of the ways I do that is by working together with Him. Or you could do for the ministry or whatever I do. But it's my giving is part of my ministry. It's part of what I do as a Christian in my giving to help establish the kingdom. Mond and I give to numbers of different ministries that we financially support. We give to those ministries. Why? We want to help establish the covenant. That's our purpose. That's what it's about. It's about establishing the covenant. When Israel would move away from it. See, we can't come back in part. You know, this idea when people say, you know, and they read, you know, we're supposed to pray, and they use from over in Chronicles, we're supposed to pray, seek God, you know, turn from our wicked ways. And everybody thinks, well, turn from my wicked way. They think, turn from, oh, we won't, you know, in adultery, fornication, homosexuality. We'll turn from theirs. But it's also the wickedness about giving. If you pray night and day, but you don't get your money behind God's plan, forget it. It's wicked not to get behind God's plan. See, I believe it's going to become more prevalent. When you look, we see the extreme in the book of Revelation. We see the extreme of what godliness will carry out to be. And we will see the extreme of the judgment that is poured out on it. When men oppose God. Many people today in the church world don't think they oppose God, but oppose God on many things. There's things about the Word of God. And tithing is one of them. I have ministers, guys that I know, really nice men, very nice men. You don't believe they're Christians, ministers. We don't believe you have to tithe. You know, that's Old Testament. And I think, dear God, poor guys never read the Bible. Never read the Bible. They don't know much about it. It's all about stories in the Bible. See, Abraham's a story. Melchizedek's a story. They've worried more about Melchizedek, whether he was Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh in the Old Testament, which is absurd. He wasn't. Says he was a man. Jesus Christ never was. If Jesus Christ was man in the old, back in the time then he had to be born into the earth to become a man. So our whole covenant thing's out the window. The whole thing's a sham. Poor dumb Paul called him a man. Paul didn't know. You know, he didn't know much. But see, we have to sit down and we have to look at what the Word of God says. And see, God has made a way for you and I to prosper. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to get in faith with what the Word of God says. He wants you to be in faith that you're helping God. When you're tithing, you're helping God establish the covenant. That's what you're doing. You're on His side. See, if I'm working, that's a worker together with Him. I'm helping God out. And that's what God requires. I forget one time they said, I remember Ken Copeland talked about, you know, some statistic-wise, about how much money would come into the church if Christians would actually tithe. I mean, it's astronomical. But most Christians think that's too much money for any ministry to be able to have. You know, we can't do that because, you know, I need a new car every year. And they don't believe God can get them a new car every year unless they save for it. And that's, they believe they have to save for it to make it to work anyhow. So they got to do it anyhow. So they say, I'm believing God for money. He can't give it to him anyhow because they believe they have to save it to get it. They believe that's the only avenue. See, we got to change the way we think. We got to change. We stepped in this bit. I have some stories, and maybe I don't know if the Lord leads, I might read them, about the guy from the Curb Ball Company that made the Curb Ball jars, about his testimony. Well, I mean, if you want to, I'll tell you. It's a story about it. The guy who had the Kerr Ball Company, this goes back years ago, who made the ball, you know, glass, the canning jars and all that kind of stuff. He started out of business. He found out. He got a revelation about the tithe. He got a revelation about tithing. So he went to God. He said, God, you said in Malachi we could prove you out. Now, I want you to understand, it still stands today, prove God out. See, that's what Wanda and I did with the tithe. We proved God out. We took the tithe and proved God. We decided, the Bible says the tithe, I want to see if it works. I don't believe it. I don't believe in tithe to doing what God said and then end up worse off. I don't believe in that. You know, that's why, it's like Kenneth Hagin, you said, if you've been believing God for something and it's been 10 years and ain't nothing happened, he says, good chance you ain't believing God. He said, something's going to change. Things ain't going to stay the same. See, when you operate God's plan. Well, this guy got a revelation. And he started himself, this glass company, making canning jars. He started doing that. And his company, he set aside money, he began to tithe. And his company just started getting blessed. His company started to grow, do real well. And he set money aside. He would go and he would talk in churches, and he'd even go to business groups and talk to them about the blessing of the tithe, how God was blessing his company. But I want you to get this. The largest ball plant that was built in San Francisco. And he built that in San Francisco, and it was during the San Francisco earthquake. His plant was standing. Now, his plants had, you know, these huge vats and stuff and these things where they melted glass and all that kind of stuff and, you know, thousands of degrees and all this kind of stuff. The earthquake takes place. Now, understand, most of the city's all wood. You know, the buildings are all wood back in those days. And fire started, and really the destruction from the earthquake didn't do most of the damage in San Francisco. It wasn't the earthquake. It was the fires that started because of the earthquake. You know, they had gas lines underground that broke and fires and everything. And that was where his biggest plant was, and he had some other plants. And he was back east here. And he got word about what was going on out there, and they told him, the fires have started out there, you know, in your plants, and they sent word to him telling him that, you know, you're going to lose your plant. And he said, no, he said, I can't lose my plant. I'm a tither. I can't lose it. He said, the fire will not burn my plant. Well, of course, you can imagine what most of the people, probably if they would have surveyed 99.9% of the church, they'd have said he's insane. And today they'll do the same thing to you. The Spirit-filled people will do that to you. He said, no, he said, it can't burn down. I'm a tither. And They thought he was crazy, and they would send him messages about the fire's burning and it's getting closer to your place. He said, no, no, my place can't, it can't burn down. I'm a tither. And after it was all said and done, everything around his plant was completely 100% burnt to the ground. His plant was made out of wood. Has all this stuff. That even had a wooden fence around. The wooden fence did not burn around his plant. And his plant was standing. And all he ever said is, I'm a tither. That can't burn. I'm a tither. See, I'm blessed. I'm a tither. That's what he did. See, he got a revelation of what he was doing. Now, this guy wasn't chintzy, though, about that. He set up some big organization about tithing. And every ball, every kid, when he was alive, every case of jars that went out and was sold, inside it was a tract about accepting Christ and the tithe. Every one of them was sent out, had that in them. This guy, and as they talk about, he spent fortunes doing this stuff. But he had this huge thing. He was also, he got an organization set up together, and they were giving my huge amounts of money given into missions projects and all kinds of stuff. These guys, you know, got this God into giving into God's plan. And see, this is what God wants to bless people. See, it was the fact that he just got more money. You know, sure, you believe, well, my plant will burn down so I can trust God to have a new plant. Well, he didn't go that route. He could believe God that his plant didn't burn down. You know, we just, here back, I guess it's now about 2 years that they had the, in Missouri there, Joplin, Missouri, had the big tornado went through, destroyed most of the town. Well, there's a black lady up there. Her house is the only one standing in her area, and all the rest of them are gone. Now, this wasn't about the tithe, but it's a person standing on the Word of God. See, when you get in line with God's principles and God's Word, there's this black lady, she has wonderful testimony. I sat down and I listened to it, and I even read an article on it. It's just really good. But anyhow, when the storm thing and the king hit, where her area was, is one of the first areas it hit in the thing. And she, the sirens went, and she didn't have any way to go nowhere or go no place. And she was in her house. Well, she stopped and she just got on her knees on the floor. And this is what she did. She just got on the knees on the floor. And she said, Lord, I have no place to go and I'm here. And she said, Lord, the devil ain't taking my house. This is my house. And she said, I'm staying here in my house and the devil's not going to have it. She said, God, you will send your angels and take care of me in my house. See, well, how could she talk like that? Telling God what to do. That's what God is waiting for, somebody to say something. And she said that. And the tornado came up, took the neighbor's house, lifted up in the air, went across her house and got the guys next door and took it out and right down the street. And her house is still standing there. She probably has a lot of empty lots around her. She probably has a nice quiet neighborhood. But everything else is gone. People wonder, you know, you guys heard me tell you a story of, you know, one of our instructors at Rhema told about I can't remember his last name. Anyhow, Doc told us about when he was a pastor down in Atlanta, Georgia. And he was pastoring down there, and they had heavy rains and flooding, and they were getting people out of the areas because it was flooding. And he went down this lady's house, and the lady down there, he said she was a really good, staunch Christian, you know, and she, you know, faithful to the church and her tithing and her giving and everything. And they went down there to get people out of the place, and she said, I ain't leaving. She said, I'm not leaving. She said, this flood ain't taking my place. She said, I'm not going to have that. And people started getting out, and flood water started rising and rising and rising. And she stood out in front of her house. And first she was standing down at the bottom of the steps where our yard was and went up on our porch. And the water was coming up. And she kept pointing the water. Said, water, you can't come in my house. You can't come in my house. And she stood there and kept doing this. You can't, this water, you can't come in my house. And water kept rising. She had to back up on the steps, and finally she's up on the porch. She said, water, you can't come in my house. Well, the water kept rising, came up on the porch. She stepped inside the door of the house, and she said, water, you can't come in my house. And the water rose up and came to the door of the house, and the water rose up on the outside but didn't come in the door of the house. Her son walked up and opened the door of the house, and the water's up about 3 feet, but no water's coming in the house. The next day, Doc told us he went down to the area because he had a few people who lived down there. And he said everybody was down there the next day cleaning up and everything was a mess. And he said this woman's place up there, he says she's out there, you know, doing some stuff around the yard, but her house is fine. And he walked down and went up to her house, asked to find out what was going on. She said, the water never come in the house. And she told him the story of what took place. She said, I'll know better the next time. She said, I won't let it on my yard. She said, I realized what I did wrong. I kept saying it wasn't allowed in my house. She said, I got exactly what I said. But I want to ask you a question, though. Do you believe that's for you? Well, the next time something happens, we'll find out if you believe that stuff. No, I'm serious about it. See, people say, now I want you to think about this. This is why we need to get after God. Because people say, yes, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that's for me. But are we going to take advantage of it? Or when it comes the next time, are we just going to do what everybody else does? See, she stayed there. She didn't say, well, I'm going to believe God, but we're leaving. See, I can't stand these stories that people tell. These stories, I get so sick of hearing them. You know, the guy, there's this one of these stories about flooding a guy on a roof. You know, and he's on the roof and the guy comes down there and they offer, you know, him a ride out. And they sort of make it like it's a joke, but I don't think it's funny at all. Now, Christians I've heard tell it. You know, and they do it from I believe they're sincerely ignorant. And this guy, the flood comes along, and he refused to leave, and he's on the roof of a house, and they came in the helicopter to get him. He said, no, I ain't going. And finally, anyhow, they say, well, the flood overtook the house. And anyhow, he died. He went to heaven. He said, Lord, he said, I was believing you to, you know, save him. Why didn't you save him? He said, I tried to. He said, I sent, you know, helicopters out there to pick you up. In other words, the things of, you need to understand this. That's false doctrine preached. It's not determined by God your deliverance. You do. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. If that man believed God and God didn't do it, then God's the problem. He didn't ask to be saved. You see, you got to watch what you listen to and what you allowed your spirit to hear and what you know take as something serious. Because whatever, people do dumb things and they ain't even faith about it and they get hurt. See, people say, well, you got to use wisdom. Most of the time I've ever heard anybody say that you had to use wisdom, they were talking about acting in unbelief. If I would have ever used the wisdom that other ministers told me and people who were over me told me to use, I would have never seen any divine miracles in my life at all. I would never have seen none. Because I saw them through doing things that do not line up with the wisdom of this world. When you talk about wisdom, there's two types of wisdom. And most of the church world and most ministers and most people in the pew operate in the world's wisdom. You've got to have a choice. Will you believe God for your deliverance? See, we want to believe God concerning the tithe. God wants to bless us. You know, God can get me money, but he's not trying to get my stuff destroyed and prove to me he can get money in. Hallelujah. See, that we need to begin what people have learned. People have had revelations about these things, of what God will do. And we need to stand. We're going to have better than the world. Is our stuff going to be destroyed just like the world's is? Is our stuff going to go just like the world's does? See, we need to begin to stand and say, hey, hold it. I'm not going to have what the world has. I'm not. These things aren't acceptable anymore. You know, I'm in the plan of God. If I'm in God's plan, in His kingdom, I'm under an eternal covenant. I'm not under a temporal covenant of law. I'm under an eternal covenant. We need to stop saying, hey, hold it. I'm not going to have it like this. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of the way things are. I'm not going to have it. I'm going to have something better. I want a testimony. I want a testimony of the greatness of God, not what men can do. I want a testimony of something great. Education of this world is leading people to away from the truth and the greatness of this book. The education of men looked at this thing and they can't make sense of the tithe. What good is this thing, you know, today? We're doing things different. No, we're not. Hallelujah. You have a covenant with God. If you're involved with God, expanding His kingdom in this earth, establishing His covenant, you're in His plan. Jesus Christ told Kenneth E. Hagin, if you are in the perfect will of God, His full blessings on you. If you're working, if you're walking in the light of the revelation you have, you can ask for the full blessing of God on you. You're walking in the place where you're walking in the place that God has you. We have the full blessing. I'm not going to have what everybody else has. I'm not going to suffer. See, we need to start getting on our voice. We're not going to suffer, because I'm just going to tell you this. You're going to see more and more destruction in this earth and more problems. Now, God can fix the stuff He messes up, we can believe Him for, but it would be a lot better for us if things didn't get so messed up, our stuff. It doesn't matter if, the storm comes along. It doesn't matter if it takes out the whole neighborhood. You ain't the whole neighborhood. You're the child of God. It's just, that little black woman, I mean, she just stopped and said, hold on, we ain't having it in my house. The angels are going to come here and take care of my house. Well, I don't know if it was angels or not, but it had to be something like that. Why would that thing just pass over her house? Why do they have a picture? Her house standing and blocks around. Everything's gone. Did it just happen? Well, boy, was she lucky. My God. Well, God did that for her because God did it because she believed God. Because she didn't go run someplace else and say, I believe God. She stood in the storm and said, I believe God in the storm. I'm not going to run. The devil ain't running me off my property. The devil's not going to destroy my place. We got to get over there. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, and the Lord told me, He said, don't let the devil. He said, in the last days, and He told me this over 10 years ago. He said, in the last days, there's going to be lots of storm stuff. He said, things are going to happen in this earth. The devil's going to destroy a lot of stuff. He said to me, don't let the devil destroy your property. So He told me, He said, you don't. He didn't say, I'm going to protect you. He said, you don't allow the devil to steal, to destroy your property. And from that time on, when I speak to the devil concerning my property. I don't talk to God about it one lick. I tell the devil what he will not do and what he cannot do, what he's not allowed to do. I speak to him. And I tell him what he can and cannot do. See, people are not doing that. They're like, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help. No. That little old black lady told God to get his angels down there and get to work. Get his angels down here. Take care of this. I'm your servant. Here I am. Now let's get with the program. Well, God, would you please do... See, that's not praying. That's begging. Quit your begging. Hallelujah. We don't have to beg. You're a child of God. You're not a beggar. Don't become that. You're not a beggar. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Heaven's waiting to get behind us. Let's pick up. We're paying our tithes. We're walking in. We're in God's plan. Start speaking concerning your finances. Start speaking concerning your blessings. Start saying what will happen to you, what will take place for you. Quit, we're more like the lottery we're really trying to work out in a way of like, well, if God would just do this for me, or God would just, no, you call your blessing. You tell what He would do for you. When they say, I'm sorry that your fence is going to burn down, say, no, the fire can't burn the fence down. It can't even get my fence. It's not allowed to, but you just don't understand. You just don't know. See, I wouldn't live in one of those places like people say, I wouldn't live in one of those places where they have wildfires. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil will keep you cornered in a place where you don't belong to make you try to find the most safe place for you because you can't trust God. Yeah. Oh, my words, I'd never ride a motorcycle out in the road there. They'd just kill you. Well, sure, they probably will with you. You just said they would, so don't matter. Well, these runs, I tell you, driving out there today's a mess. I ain't no worse driving out there today than it ever was. Idiots have been around all my life. And today there might be more of them, but don't matter. There's a God who takes care. I drove for 30 years without God. And now I got Him. Am I going to start talking stupid? Am I going to start saying things? Folks, this is good preaching nonetheless. See, we gotta get over in this thing. We gotta get back over the areas of faith in God again in America. We've left it. We were at a place of faith in America and God in the 1980s, and we've left it. And I'll tell you what, it's hard for people who had it then to try to even get back to it. Is why? Because they got so full and pumped full of unbelief of listening to so much, of going around in this so-called informational generation, but ain't nothing but demonic. Pumping out trash, pumping garbage, pumping out sewage at the name of information. Hallelujah. And it's taken out of people that you can't believe God. I want to tell you what. Kerr, who had his company, he wasn't some special man. All he did was stood in a revelation that he had. And God did that for him. What will God do for you? What will God do for you? Hallelujah. He was no special man. Hallelujah. He doesn't have a special testimony. All of us are supposed to have a testimony. And not a testimony the night that you accepted Jesus. It's what Jesus did for you after you got in the kingdom. Your testimony ain't about the day you got saved. Your testimony is about what God has done for you. That's your testimony. I know many people, they got saved, I don't even want to hear nothing about their life. Because it's been nothing but tragedy. It's been nothing but problems. No, God got you saved because He wants to do a miracle in your life. He wants you to have a miracle. He don't want to have you a 30-year miracle of what happened back 30 years ago. He wants you to have a testimony. What's God doing? What's God done for you this month? What's God carried out in your life? What has God done? Have you believed God for a miracle? Have you believed God for something? He wants you to come to that. If you're a person and you've been faithful, you've been tithing, you're a person whose God is in a position to believe God to have a miracle happen. You're in that position. You're in that place. Step up to the plate. Step up to bat. Let somebody else do. Let somebody else. I want to listen to somebody else's testimony. I don't want to hear somebody else's testimony. I like mine. Somebody else's testimony is what God did for them. That's wonderful. But what about me? Now, I told you Kerr, but I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't have stood up here and talked about Kerr if I never believed God for a miracle and ever have it happen. What's the point? I don't like just nice stories and we all sit around and go, oh, ain't that so? If it ain't going to happen to Ed, I don't want it. I want it to happen to me. Because if you don't have it happen to you, you will believe that God is a respecter of persons. And you will never walk in faith with nothing. You will always be waiting for God to do something for you instead of claiming something. I'm going to have it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah.